Hello, this is Mike Sainsbury welcoming you to this ASI cast, which comes from Abbey Road Studios, where ASI's research director Richard Marks interviewed Mark Barber, planning director of the Radio Centre, on the Strike Accord research study, which demonstrates how music communicates for brands. Richard.
Okay, Mark. Well, we're at the world-famous Abbey Road Studios, actually sitting in a very impressive looking mixing desk, and you've been presenting the latest findings of your Strike Accord project. But firstly, just to provide an element of continuity, at last year's ASI radio conference in Madrid, you presented the findings from the Audio Now project. A year on, how would you assess the impact of that particular project?
Well, I think overall it's been very positive in a lot of respects, but mainly I think it helped to create in the minds of our customer the idea that there is something called an audio market, and it helped them understand how that audio market is broken down, and sort of, if you like, elevate the importance of audio within an agency context because of that. So we've seen quite a few previous radio teams now becoming audio teams and taking on responsibilities for dealing directly with digital audio, whereas previously that might have just been annexed as part of a digital team. So I think it's really been positive in that respect. I do think it has also helped re-establish the relevance of radio within people's media consumption opportunities, and particularly put it into perspective in terms of its sheer scale compared to any other audio formats. Mm. So I think it's got some radio-specific learning, and it's got some wider sort of building the importance of audio learning within there as well. And we've seen revenue going in the right direction, so it's probably helped alongside many other things, such as Global's DAX trading system, in terms of helping to drive the idea of audio in a digital sense as well.
Mm. It's interesting because that project was putting radio in the context of all audio. This project we're talking about, that you'll also be presenting in Venice, is very much focused on music and the role of music specifically in advertising. So what was the origin? Where did the idea for this project come from?
Well, I guess, as I alluded to in the presentation today, one thing we've seen within the Radar Midas Plus data that we reviewed initially in Audio Now is that commercial audio is growing as new music streaming services, their ad-funded subscribers, are unlocking audio hours that were previously unavailable to advertisers. So I think the challenge within that, though, is that the audio market is growing, but perhaps ad revenue isn't growing as fast as we'd like alongside that. So yes, this was the last project was radio in the wider audio context. Actually, I think I'd elevate this and say it started off as an idea about how can we make audio feel more important within the overall communications mix, and because that's a big area, we necessarily sort of settled on one area, which is music, which we felt would be the element that is most effective and has the highest impact and probably the easiest one to measure. So that's why we went down this route of measuring music. And I think the results actually demonstrate that that was exactly the right thing to do. Mm. Clearly, using music consistently elevates the impact of an advertising campaign, whether that's on TV or radio, hugely. And there just aren't enough advertisers taking advantage of it. And I guess that's one of the goals that we'd like to see, and why we've developed practical tools, is to help people convinced by the research to start taking some steps down the pathway towards developing their own brand music.
Mm. You mentioned in your presentation that you thought that people's minds were changing with regard to their attitudes to radio, but it wasn't necessarily at the moment working through into their actions. So I guess this project is another step down that road to give them practical help to do that.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, quite often, even if people do buy the idea of advertising on radio, the strategic role it can play for them, and have an understanding of how effective it can be, one of the big hurdles that they still then have to overcome is how to use it creatively. And the ad business just isn't really used to working without pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why this was a really important project, because music is an audio shortcut to brands. As we saw from one of the respondents in the study, you know, the music is the brand was the line that he used. And I think that's an incredibly powerful thought for people to take away, your brand can be represented in music, and that can communicate at all times, under the radar, without people really taking any notice.
Yeah, I must confess, every time I listen to my favourite Blur album, by the time I get to track five, it's like, oh, it's the British Gas music. It's kind of almost changed that song forever. It's the
Well, I think for people, it's an interesting one, the Universal, I think, because for Blur fans, you sort of go, yeah, it sort of has changed the meaning. But I think there are a lot of people for whom that song is just the British Gas music.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that sense, it takes on a very different meaning, but it still sort of glues it all together. And it also means that when Blur is played on the radio as part of the playlist, British Gas get a free branding hit.
Yeah, I remember going back to the 70s, the Blue Jeans song, which
yeah.
There was a big debate on Radio 1 as to whether they should play it when it was re-recorded. This was a song that was used in an ad and then became a number one hit, re-recorded as a normal song, as it were.
But I remember it. And what was it?
David Dundas, I think, was the artist.
What was the brand? I brought my Brutus Jeans.
Brutus Jeans.
That was it, yeah, Brutus Jeans. There's a brand that isn't around
yes,
anymore.
I think we're showing our collective ages there. But so you'll be talking us through the results in Venice, and I don't want to preempt it in this particular podcast, because otherwise people won't need to turn up for your speech. But I just wanted to know, was there anything, having been through so much music and an awful lot of new techniques for looking at people's brain patterns and so on, was there anything that really surprised you about the research or leapt out that you weren't expecting to find?
Well, I guess the EEG side of things, I had a very strong suspicion that we'd see positive results. But I guess the extent to which they were positive, I was surprised about. Probably from my perspective, the bit that was more of a revelation was the semiotic deconstruction of music. When we set out on this project, we decided we wanted to find some way of helping people to navigate their way around or avoiding the subjectivity of music and thinking about it more objectively. And we came up with a load of ideas about how we might do it, but most of them seemed to be dead ends. And I remember the first time that Push talked to us about the idea of introducing semiotics into the study and how it would work. It was like a little light bulb went on, which was, actually, that is what we need. It was really revealing, and it suddenly brought to life all of that implicit communication and meaning that each piece of music holds, and in a way that was, I think, you know, it's still not that simple, but it helps you understand how it works and think about it on a very different level.
Yeah, I've seen surveys using semiotics before, and I've seen surveys using EEG and brainwaves before. I've not seen one attempting to combine both. So I think, as we're discussing, the challenge for Venice is going to be, how do you boil this down to a 20-minute presentation? So I think it's going to be great fun finding out. And thanks for making the time on a busy day, because we've been at the launch of the survey, the Strike a Chord survey, at the birthplace of such albums as Dark Side of the Moon and Radiohead's The Bends, and of course the Beatles' Abbey Road. So we look forward to hearing from you in Venice, and thanks for taking the time to speak to ASI Cast.
Cheers. Thanks for coming along.
Thanks.
You've been listening to an ASI Cast, our regular series of interviews and chats, available at the ASI website at asiconferences.com.